Andy Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess and Eddie. I'm 10-8. Eddie, are you 10-8, brother?
Jess, I'm 10-8, reporting for duty. We're clear for call, sir.
You know what, Eddie, we've got a lot of emails that come in all the time, and this is an opportunity today on Monday to sit down and just give some thoughtful answers to some of these emails that have come in, because
they're good questions, Jess.
Absolutely good questions, and a lot of people have the same questions.
Right.
They're not different questions. So let's jump into the first one. Let me read what it says here. It says, "Is right." He's writing to Jesus 911. I need to work harder. This is the question. I need to work harder to stop being in mortal sin so much. My Achilles heel is lust, and I'm concerned about this virus. Any advice on what I can do to stay in a state of grace for longer periods? And hopefully for good.
That's the intent, Jess.
Extensive answer here that we're going to give, Eddie. We'll go back and forth on this. First of all, praise God that he recognizes that there's sin in his life. The fact that he acknowledges that there's sin, that's good.
Yeah.
And that's the grace of God opening his eyes. So now that he knows that he's in sin, it's time to fight back.
And now, Jess, is a time where he wants to make it for good. So he's determined to win this fight, and that's the battle we're all up against, Jess.
Yeah, his will is totally engaged at this point. And so the best advice for combating, and let's just be honest, there's a demonic component of this, because this is one of the seven deadly sins, lust. It's in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. It's known as vice in Catholicism. Vice is the opposite of virtues. And what is the vice? It's the perverse habit which darken the intellect or darken the conscience, and they incline one to evil. And vice is one of the seven deadly sins. The opposite of vice is humility. So to fight, the opposite of lust is purity. So let's work on this. The first thing that I would say to this person who wrote this letter to us, I would tell him, when you recognize this demonic attack of lust, first thing you got to do, take custody of your mind and snap your intellect back into order. How? By immediately firing off a prayer of rebuke, renounce, and reject. Rebuke, renounce, and reject this demonic temptation immediately. That way you snap back your intellect back into order and take custody of your intellect. And it could just be a simple prayer like, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit, I renounce the spirit of lust.
Or impurity.
Or impurity that is present at this place. Evil spirit, I rebuke you in Jesus' mighty precious name. Be gone to the foot of the cross that our Lord may do with you as he wills. So the first thing is action. You got to fire back. You got to, and this is called in Liber Crystal, they call this taking custody of your intellect and snapping your intellect back into order. By boom, you fire back instead of like saying, oh, I'm being tempted again. Eddie, what does our buddy Doug Barry say? One of the things that he recommends in terms of people that are dealing with.
Yeah, Jess, you know what? Doug Barry has a good take on this. He says, amazing, isn't it? Especially when we consider the consequences of not fighting against an enemy that wants the destruction of our souls and the souls of those that we love. Hold on. Okay. It says...
Doug Barry's response.
Yeah, when you feel the attacks, the temptations to be selfish, prideful, lustful, greedy, envious, or to give into division between you and your spouse... or your siblings, or your parents, for example. And he says, stop, calm down, and think. Fight back with the weapons that God has given us. Prayer, sacraments, holy water, veneration of a blessed crucifix. Prayerfully repent the name of Jesus in your heart. In the name of Jesus in your heart. Do it over and over and over and don't stop. The devil wants us to give up. Don't give up. That's great advice, Jess. We should do those things.
And here's the good point that Doug just made, is that, which basically goes with the first thing that I just said, is that you have to, you got to immediately go into prayer mode, because remember, the opposite virtue of vice is purity. And notice the things that Doug said. He told you about the things to go right into purity. How do you go into purity? Well, Doug said it, you know, grab a crucifix. What could be more pure than the bloody body of Jesus Christ on Calvary? Doug said, grab holy water. You know, go to the sacrament, start praying. So Doug is taking you to things that are going to purify your mind and purify your soul. Father Ripperger in the FTC guide, the companion guide, he says this. We can combat pornography through, and this is what he recommends in spiritual direction, through the devotion to the five sacred wounds of Jesus. This is the understanding that the desecration of his flesh was the response to our sins of the flesh. We should spend time meditating and reflecting on his sacred wounds. Then, when the demon tries to suggest time meditating and reflecting on his sacred wounds, then when the demon tries to suggest to us that we need to look at pornography, we can project back to the demon the images of the wounds of Christ. So how do you do this practically when you get that urge towards pornography? Here it is. Take the rosary, go on your iPhone, and look up the graphic bloody pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ and his five wounds, and put the pictures on your phone. And as you're praying the rosary, look at all, in fact, the best pictures are the ones from the movie The Passion of the Christ. Look at those pictures as you're going through the sorrowful mysteries. You cannot think about pornography, Father Ripperger says, when you start gazing upon the bloody corpse of Christ, specifically his five sacred wounds. All your dirty thoughts will be burned away with this meditation. He said that's the one that's the most powerful. There's just no way you can at the same time hold an impure thought and look at Jesus Christ. Again, think about the movie The Passion. Go to those pictures. They're on the internet. And look at those five bloody pictures of his five sacred wounds as you start saying the rosary, and you'll see those thoughts will be burned away.
Jess, this is a great tactic that Father Ripperger addresses here. And that's to give back to the demon something he didn't expect. That is the holy wounds, the images of the holy wounds of Christ. This is a great tactic. One thing too, Jess, I wanted to mention that, you know, the harsh reality is that there's some men who really do experience this urges to watch, you know, to see pornography. You know, I'm sure during the night, there's many men who get up quietly with the families asleep, and they're viewing porn. This is what I would say, Jess, especially for the women. Listen up here. If you think your husband is viewing pornography, it's not the thought of another woman. This is a demonic sickness. This is something that has to be addressed by prayer with your support. So, you know, the honesty is the best policy. Just attack this thing together, because this really is what true battle is all about.
Yep, yep. And here's what I would also say. Wives, the 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that wives have rights over their wife's body, and wives have rights over their husband's body. Is that me?
Yeah, that's for you, Jess. That's for you. Okay. Turn up the volume, please.
You know what? Let me just, Eddie, go ahead and continue, and I will log off and log on. Go ahead and continue with this, Eddie.
Okay. So we're talking about pornography. You know, we're giving advice, especially to the spouses of some of the men. Not that men are the only ones that experience this, but because there are some women that have this going on as well. But primarily for the men who might be viewing pornography, remember that because women have a tendency to be jealous, to think that the men are experiencing some normal or natural phenomenon. This is what I will say. When it comes to this type of activity that we're talking about, viewing pornography, having these urges at some point during the day to view pornography, and it's been habitual in some of these men's lives, The reality is, women, do not fall back to, you know, maybe to even a jealous bone in your body, because this is not something that men are choosing to do in terms of another woman. So we have to be careful to realize that this is not a natural response. This is a very primitive, even a primitive and demonic urge activity. And so there's where we have to be mature in our faith. Mature, in other words, to say, you're going through something, I understand it, and let's address it together. But that requires honesty. And unless there's honesty in a marriage, and it could be brought out by hopefully the wife in this scenario, I would say that that it's, you're going to have a difficult time doing it, because then the man, the male spouse, is going to have to try to deal with it alone. This is the issue.
Let me see. Can you listen to me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay. All right. I don't know what I turned it off and turned it back on. So so Father Ripperger says to burn this away, you got to meditate on the passion of Christ. And in fact, meditation, it comes from the Latin word to think over. And what meditation, it's a reflective form of prayer. It begins by reading the Word of God. We'll continue talking about how to fight pornography using Catholic principles of meditation, prayer, the sacraments, taking custody of your mind by snapping back with a prayer of rebuke. You've got to do that immediately, like Jesus Christ did in the desert. That's exactly what he did. And you're listening to Jesus 911. We'll continue talking about how to slay the dragon of pornography.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess and Eddie. 10-8 for Jesus. We're talking about how to slay the demon of pornography, and we're giving you some spiritual direction here. Again, meditation is a very powerful form. Because here's what you're doing in pornography. You're meditating upon something impure. So you got to replace that meditation by meditating upon the Word of God. Because meditation engages our powers of thought and imagination. Meditation engages our emotions and desires. Meditation and meditation would be like the divine mercy, the rosary, the mysteries of Our Lady of Sorrows. What this does, these meditative prayers marshal our interior powers to focus on the mysteries of our Catholic faith and on God's will for our lives. And the practice of daily meditation is very important to grow in holiness. In fact, the Desert Fathers, look at what they would say about meditation, how power, these are the guys that lived in the desert in the 4th and 5th century. They were monks. They'd say, meditation melts our evil thoughts away and withers the passions of the soul. Meditation enlightens our mind. It makes the understanding radiant. Meditation fills the heart with joy. Meditation wounds demons. I love that. Meditation drives away thoughts of wickedness. Lust is a wicked thought. Meditation is a mirror for the mind and a light for the conscience. Meditation, here it is, tames lust, calms fury, dispels wrath, drives away bitterness and puts irritability to flight. Meditation illuminates the mind and expels laziness, and from it is born the tenderness that warms and melts the soul. Father Ripperger also has this monastic approach to discipline to break these vices. What does he say about what he tells? Energumen is basically people that are undergoing possession. He actually puts them on this monastic prayer schedule. If they don't follow it, he won't even see them. He says, "You're out, get out of here." Next, until they fall. What's the monastic thing that he does to snap your intellect and your will back into place?
It says this, Justin says, in monastic discipline, we order our life to prayer. Prayer at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. is joined with a communal prayer of the church. This is the Angelus. The perfects metanoia, leading God to flood us with his grace. This will snap the lower faculties, the passions and the appetites, back into order and restore clarity to the person. And so we're talking about repentance. And let's just define those terms, yeah. Jess, that are related to what Father Ripperger just said. Repentance is a desire to change. It is the thought. Metanoia is the action that leads to the change. Jess, so the questioner on this one question is already focused on what to do.
He's on the repentance part, right?
Now we're giving him
the metanoia part
to put the metanoia part back in his life. We're giving him stuff for his war bag, just, and this is a battle he will win if he follows these directions.
Eddie, look what Father Ripperger says in the next sentence there. Because I like the way he gives, you know, he explains how they correlate repentance and metanoia. Look at what he says. You see it there?
Yes. It says, it's the difference between merely saying I need to go on a diet.
That's repentance.
And actually changing your eating habits.
That's metanoia.
That's a difficult part, Jess. That's a difficult part to change.
Yeah, so the guy right now, Eddie, I need to go on a diet. He's on repentance. Right. And we're giving him the things that he has to do for metanoia. Again, what Eddie just shared about Father Ripperger, this is what he gives to people. Here's the phases. Somebody says, I think I'm possessed. Okay, they're called a petitioner. Then he puts them through in this deep monastic prayer protocol for 30 days, and his team is contacting them, and sometimes they'll say, "Oh, tell Father I can't do it. It's too hard. I can't do prayer at 6:12. At 6, I get attacked and I hear voices and it hurts." And then the team will say, "Okay, call us. How many days have you missed?" "Oh, I missed Tuesday and Thursday." Okay. Go back to the beginning. "Oh, I can't. Okay, call us when you're ready to snap your intellect and your will back into order. When you're ready to implement metanoia, then Father will help you." In other words, a lot of people have the repentance, that desire to change, but when they put them on, because this is what drives out the diabolical, is the person personally entering into a disciplined prayer life. Demons hate discipline. They love lack of discipline. Demons hate disorder. They love disorder. Demons hate what's clean. They love what's unclean. And this monastic prayer guide, by the way, I'm not possessed and I follow this, okay? And I just do this just to stay in a state of grace. What it does, this type of order in your life, it gives you clarity of thought. It gives you control of your passions. Because where does lust come from? It comes from the passions. It doesn't come from the intellect. The demons attack the passions. And so if you're strengthening your passions by a monastic prayer life, those thoughts of lust are not going to take hold on the passions because your passions are strengthened by a monastic prayer life. Here's what Pope Benedict XVI says. He talks, he incorporates the component of fasting into this. He says, fasting means abstaining from food, but includes other forms of self-denial to promote a more sober lifestyle. But that still isn't the full meaning of fasting, which is the external sign of the internal reality of our commitment to abstain from evil with the help of God and to live the gospel. So notice, because you'll find the great spiritual directors in the Catholic Church, they'll say, if you can master fasting as a Catholic, the Friday fast, go old school Wednesdays and Fridays, and if you can tell your body, nope, no more, shut your mouth, no more food, no snacks, no this, no that. If you can master slay the sin of gluttony, it's going to be easier for you to start mastering the other seven deadly sins, but because gluttony is the weakest of the seven. So how do you master gluttony? Fasting. In other words, fasting trains you to master the weakest of the seven deadly sins, gluttony. Now, if your mind can master your body in that area, your mind will be able to master your body in lust and the rest of the six deadly sins. And let's not forget, what does fasting do? Fasting trains you to master and control your passions. I'll say it again. Fasting trains you to master and control your passions. So how do prayer and fasting connect with one another? Well, prayer connects you to God, and fasting disconnects you from the world. That's oftentimes how you get in trouble, because we're so connected to the world. That's how people get diabolically afflicted. You're so connected to carnal appetites or sexual impurities, and you get diabolically afflicted. So prayer, a life of prayer, connects you to God, and fasting disconnects you from the world. Eddie Taylor Marshall he also weighs in on this topic. He basically gives us a guide of spiritual direction on this.
Yeah, just I don't have that. Go ahead and take that part.
Yeah, Taylor Marshall says, this is the moral life. Begin by doing small things well. For example, actively form your conscience by studying the Catholic faith. Seek the truth. Don't darken your intellect with bad reading materials or bad movies. And submit your passions to right reason. Do this every day, 365 days a year. If you fall, get up, keep trying. Because 40 years from now, if you're a general in the church militant and you're in a tough spot, then and only then are you going to know what to do and when to do it. Because the ability to make that right decision 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, begins with the ability to make small right decisions today and every day. I think that tackles that topic, Eddie. Unless you want to add some more on the topic of the sin of lust.
You know, just what I wanted to do, I just wanted to mention real quick that you gave the virtues here. And it refers us to a catechism verse, a couple of catechism verses. One of them is 1865 and 1866, when it talks about vices and virtues, etc. But one of the sections on the catechism that is right here is 1868. Is something that I always preach to adults and teens together, Jess. And that's this. 1868 is very powerful, and this is what it says. It says, sin is a personal act. Moreover, we have responsibility for the sins committed by others when we cooperate in them. It says, there's nine ways. By participating directly and voluntarily in them, by ordering, advising, praising, or approving them, by not disclosing, not hindering them, and by protecting the evildoers. These are ways, Jess, where we can be culpable in God's eyes for other people's sins, and we haven't even fully signed into those sins. So that's why it's important for us to realize, just besides actually committing some sin yourself and being guilty of it, there are ways that we can have some culpability. And this is why just the sacrament of confession is so powerful, because it rids us of all the serious sins, the mortal sins, but it also addresses some of the other partially culpable ways that we can be held guilty in God's eyes for some of the things that go on in daily life. We're talking about human weakness here. That's why I bring this up.
Yeah, and based on what you just said about, you know, aiding, abetting, participating in somebody's sin, I'll tell you, when it comes to pornography, I'll tell you who's guilty. The people who fund this, there's big money behind this. These guys that are funding this are going to have a whole lot to answer for at their personal judgment. Also, to a lesser extent, but they're still going to be culpable, any woman who participates in pornography, taking her clothes off and doing, you know, dancing like, you know, King Herod's stepdaughter, they're going to have a price to pay if they don't repent on judgment day, because they're using their God-given looks to lead men into sin. Those people, also those friends of yours that encourage you, hey, dude, man, let's go to the gentleman's club. Your wife's, you know, she won't be back for a couple of hours and stuff. Those guys are going to be held accountable on judgment day.
What about the people that participate in sexting, Jess, and sending impure images over the phone for, you know, I'm talking.
Oh, that's part of this.
That's
absolutely,
absolutely part of it, Jess. And let's not forget the men that participate in pornography as well. The men have a huge, I mean, it's 50-50. And these men are doing something that that cries to heaven, Jess, for all the things that's necessary for people to be repentant to God for. It cries to heaven for punishment.
Yeah, and it's what pornography is. It's just basically the entire twisting of the sacrament of marriage. The sacrament of marriage was given to us by God for the purpose. It has a unitive and a procreative aspect, and that's the only place where shame is not really supposed to be felt, when you take your clothes off, because you've given yourself one to another in a life, a giving bond called the sacrament of marriage. Any other arrangement, Eddie, is shameful and sinful.
Yep, we'll be right back. More Jesus 911 after this short break. Be right back.
Christ's message of love, mercy, and compassion is for all of humanity. The Last Days, a live passion play being performed in Los Angeles, is an opportunity to get up close and personal with Jesus Christ during this season of Lent. Hi, I'm Maria Vargo, and I play Mary, Jesus's mother, and I'm here with a special invitation for you to join us at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Koreatown on April 4th, April 5th, and Good Friday, April 10th. For tickets and more information, go to our website, www.thelastdayspassionplay.com. If you are not able to attend in person, please consider supporting this ministry by making a donation that will help ensure Christ's message is brought to the world through the arts. For more info, go to www.thelastdayspassionplay.com. And please find, follow, and share us on Instagram at The Last Days of Jesus and Facebook at The Last Days of Jesus Passion Play. God bless you, and thank you so much.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us: by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
10-8, reporting for duty, sir. Jess and Eddie, two-man car, Jesus 911, where we take on spiritual warfare questions, Catholic style. Here's another question from a listener. It says, Jess and Eddie, I went to Mass and confession a couple of weeks ago after 4 years. Then shortly afterward, my bathroom wall tile patterns took on a whole new look. There are demonic faces in the tiles now. It is like they were manufactured that way, but if they were, I never noticed it before. Without going into specifics, I'm seeing demons everywhere. Why is this happening? Let me take a stab at it, then I'll pass it over to Eddie. Okay. Some people are more sensitive to the spiritual realm. That's angels and demons. Okay, that's what I mean by spiritual realm. Some people are without a doubt more sensitive to the spiritual realm of existence, especially after you've had an interior conversion experience back to God. Before you were converted and you were just basically living for the world, you're not sensitive to the spiritual world. It's only until you have that repentance and metanoia, then all of a sudden your spiritual senses are heightened. Now, Father Gabriel Amorth, the exorcist from Rome, rest in peace, he calls these Catholics such as yourself, he calls them sensitives. And again, that means that those are certain Catholics that have this just this awareness of angels and demons. Now, St. Paul speaks about this extraordinary gift is called discernment of spirits. Exactly what you just said. Discernment of spirits in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and in other passages, that means the ability to know whether something comes from an angel or a demon or just your own fallen nature. And some people, especially once they're converted back to the faith, they have a very heightened awareness of discernment of spirits. That's one of these extraordinary gifts or a charismatic gift. So I would just tell you, if God's allowing you to see or to sense the spiritual realm, it's to make you grow in holiness and to become a saint. That's the only reason God's allowing this to happen. But I would tell you this, based on the great minds of the Catholic Church, like St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila, do not pay attention to these spirits. Again, St. Paul and St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, they warn us. They warn us that these demons can even try to appear as good angels. So don't pay attention to them. In fact, Father Ripperger says that an important step to being liberated from the diabolical is rejection of all mystical phenomena, even if it's good. You just have to reject it at this point because you don't know if it is. Reject any visions. Reject any apparitions. Don't be fixated on this, obsessed. This is exactly what they want you to do. And be prayerful. All this should make you want to live in a state of grace and be holy, but don't become curious about these demons. That's exactly what they want, and that's what took down Eve in the Garden of Eden and caused her to fall from grace. She became curious about this talking snake. Okay? What would I tell you ultimately? Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Keep it that simple, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And learn to ignore these diabolical visions. You say you're seeing demons everywhere. You're going to have to ignore this stuff. How? Take custody of your intellect by immediately going into prayer And this way you snap back your lower faculties. Those are your passions and emotions, because that's where the demons attack. If you go into prayer, okay, that's your higher faculty, the intellect. You snap it back into place, and now it controls the lower faculties, the passions and emotions, because that's what's drawn to curiosity, and that's where demons, that's their playground. So basically what Father Ripperger means is that all these experiences of the diabolical, including possession, all of these experiences that God's allowing you to have, ultimately have a salvific end if we enter into the battle and cooperate with God's grace. In other words, God wants to save us, but he allows these temptations and trials in our life in order to purify us, make us saints, and get us to heaven. Eddie?
Just, you know, it's funny. He mentions the wall tiles in the bathroom now appear as they've been manufactured to have these demonic faces, and he never realized that before. So, you know, these are distractions, Jess. This is meant for somebody that's making his way back to the faith.
Absolutely.
That's scratching his way through these evil demonic images that are occurring. And he's got to stay strong. He's got to remain in Christ. He has to have the good images to counter these things. And so, but you know, Jess, this reminds me of the movie Exorcism of Emily Rose, where at times she would be able to look at people and she would see things that other people couldn't. There was a kid in class, those people driving by in a car where they had images of their eyes that were dripping black tar. I'm not sure if you remember those scenes, but this is what we're talking about. Just we're talking about those things that people are instructed with that are dealing with in their lives, and this is what is going on with them, and this is what we have. This is what they have to avoid, just because these things will happen if they pay too much attention to them, if they give them too much power. And just this is also a reason I should mention is that many people who go through demonic obsession, even possession, always think that they have the ability to discern the spirits. They want to be part of the exorcism team. But this is exactly the same reason why people are a little hesitant to allow them to come on there, because you never know when these lower passions are going to get out of whack again and allow them to see and experience things that are not having to do with what's happening with the energumen.
Yeah. In fact, I've talked to several exorcists, and they've said that somebody who's formerly possessed, they've never allowed to be on an exorcism team in the country. Never.
That makes sense, Jess. I mean,
you've been compromised already.
Exactly. And you never know when things are going to occur that will go against, because what you're dealing with is demons, Jess. You're still dealing with demons on the exorcism team. And so somebody that's already been part of your camp, you can never trust them 100%.
I mean, you could ask them questions and they can give you their opinions and stuff that happened to them. But as far as being a part of the team, it'd be very dangerous, because they've already been compromised and stuff. And they have to stay as far away from all of that as possible for the rest of their life. But I'll tell you, just going back to this question, once you've had a conversion, and I just read this recently from St. John of the Cross, who's one of the greatest mystical writers in the Catholic faith. In fact, when it comes to mystical theology, he's at the top of the food chain. I was reading St. John of the Cross the other night, and he was saying that, I'll give it in blue-collar language. He says, when you're unconverted, he says, there's demons in your house, but they're asleep. They leave you alone because they got you. I mean, that's what he says. They're literally asleep. They're like, you know, snoring in the corner with a pillow. They got you. Now, St. John of the Cross says, when you convert and you're coming back to church, coming back to prayer and the sacraments, they are awake, they snap to attention, and they're on duty, and they're on the prowl. So that's what you got here in this question of this guy. He's like saying, you know, I'm coming back to church, the sacraments, prayer, and all of a sudden I'm seeing all this stuff. This is exactly because they had you for so long, and they were asleep. They didn't have to do anything to you because you're already part of their camp. Lukewarmness puts you in Satan's camp. Indifference puts you in Satan's camp, okay? Fallen away Catholic, you're in Satan's camp. Well, now that you snap to attention, now that you're 10-8 for Jesus, Now you woke them up. You kicked the lion's cage.
That's that beacon, that's a beacon that Dan and Kyle talk about all the time. There's a beacon. So it's off. It's off when you're in the devil's camp. What happens when you say, you know what, I need to go to mass. There's a coronavirus going on. I need to come back to church. Guess what? That beacon starts calling the demons, and that's what you have to be aware of.
That's it. But I just want to just reiterate what Father Ripperger says. He says that it's very important to be liberated by the demon. All mystical phenomena you have to reject. But you may say, but Mary's appearing to me. Mm-hmm. A saint's appearing to me. My guardian angel. Well, guess what? All the great mystical writers, Teresa of Lisieux, John of the Cross, Ignatius of Loyola, Teresa of Avila, Padre Pio, John Vianney, they had demons appear to them in the form of saints, in the form of angels. I believe even as the Blessed Mother, as Jesus. They took on these manifestations, and they do this to give you a false sense of consolation, and then they'd say a prayer, and then all of a sudden these things would just disappear into thin air and leave a trail of sulfur. It was a demonic appearance. That's why you have to reject all of this, and you just have to accept the what the church teaches. That's why prayer is so important, because all prayer is what? It's the doctrines of the church, all of it. The Our Father, a doctrine of the Godhead, the first person of the Trinity, Hail Mary, Marian doctrines, the Glory Be, doctrine of the angels, the Apostles' Creed, doctrine of salvation. All the prayers of the church are doctrines and dogmas of the church. That's what you have to enter into a life of prayer so you can snap your intellect back into proper order and know the teachings of the church. Because that's not mystical. That's fact-based. Those are faith facts. Instead of saying, oh, an angel appeared to me and gave me a good message, reject all of that, even if it is a good message, because since you've been tricked before, you can easily be tricked again, so you can't accept any mystical phenomenon at this point. Reject it all, unless the church says, oh, Our Lady of Fatima appeared in 1917 and gave the... Well, that's different. The church has spoken. You can say, okay, I'll read up on that and stuff. What does she say to these three visionaries? But your own mystical phenomena, reject it.
Yeah, just that's something that I remember long, long time ago. I think it was one of Terry's conferences we were at, years ago. And Father Philip Scott said, what do you think the devil's going to be doing when you're on your way back to the church? Do you think he's going to be polishing his fingernails? No, he's going to come back at you. He's going to come back strong because they don't want to lose something they've had for so long for some of us. And that's the lesson. Okay, we'll be right back. More of Jesus 911 and some more mystical experiences we'll be talking about. We'll be right back.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Attention VMPR listeners, we've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's BritfieldInstitute Institute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, here's a short deliverance prayer that everybody should put in their war bag. Here it goes. I'll say it. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Oh, good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me, and close to you, keep me. That with your saints and angels, I may be praising you forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every day, I'm going to try to throw a spiritual warfare prayer out there just so you can know, oh, I didn't know that was a spiritual warfare prayer. Absolutely. That's a very powerful one. And if you want to pray for somebody else, that's a deprecatory prayer. You can just say, soul of Christ, sanctify him or her. Body of Christ, save him or her. Blood of Christ, save him or her. So it's a deprecatory prayer as well. Here's another question that we have, Eddie. Can the demonic affliction affect the psychological? A lot of people think that they're separate. They're saying, okay, demonic affliction and psychological, these are two separate things. Not really. I looked at the dictionary and look what it says, okay? They're not separate, okay? I used to think they're separate. They're not separate. Yeah, the demonic affects the psychological specifically. Let's take a look at what psychological means, and then we'll see how the demon attacks. And you'll see that that's exactly what the demons attack, the psyche. Psychological, the definition, according to dictionary.com, is this. It's pertaining to the mind. Did you catch that? Psychological means pertaining to the mind or to mental phenomena as the subject matter of psychology, pertaining to, dealing with, or affecting the mind, especially as a function of awareness, feeling, or motivation. Okay, so now we know what psychological means. Simple. Pertaining to the mind or to mental phenomena. Now, what do demons attack? One of the attacks of demon that's very famous is called diabolical obsession. Eddie, can you, do you have it there?
Yeah, I have
it.
Is that
what Father Moore says about diabolical obsession?
Yeah, this is what Father Moore says. He says, mental, he describes it as mental discomfort. He says,
right, that's psychology there.
Yeah, the exactly. Mind. That's of the mind.
Bingo.
Symptoms include sudden attacks, at times ongoing, of obsessive thoughts like pornography, violence, lust, hate, anger, blasphemy. And it says, against everything that's against what is holy, that the victim is unable to free himself of. Therefore, the obsessed person, for example, lives in a perpetual state of desperation, prostration, and attempts at suicide, etc. Almost always, obsession influences your dreams. Only an expert and a well-trained eye can identify the differences between obsession and mental illness. Some symptoms are so inconsistent with known illnesses that they point with certainty to the evil origins. So just,
well, there it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these things, a lot of times you need a doctor's opinion on what's going on here or even a sensitive. But the reality is, you know, it's not one or the other. Like many things in the Catholic faith, yes, it's both.
Both and.
Yeah, both and. And so that's why it's important to have an interview to find out what precisely is going on in this individual's life. Of why they're seeing these images in the wall tile, why they're seeing demons, hearing voices, because sometimes it can be psychological, but other times it could be an overlapping of both things.
Yeah, and let's remember, just psychological basically means pertaining to the mind, and that's what a demon's attack, they attack the mind. Father Ripperger, he describes diabolical obsession. He says, just like Father Amorth, he says that the victims feel like they're unable to free themselves, okay? Because why? Because they have compulsive, obsessive thoughts that affects even their dreams. And Father Ripperger says that that dreams come from three places. There's three types of dreams. He says you have divine dreams, come from God or an angel or your guardian angel. You have diabolical dreams, that's called nightmares. And then you have what he calls mental junk dreams. These are dreams, when you dream and there's no order, but it's not bad or good. Like you just dream, you saw yourself at 8 years old riding a bicycle. You see yourself at 12 years old in the beach. You see yourself, I don't know, at 15 years old playing Little League baseball. You know, they're just all over the map. It's like all these little word files just come up throughout the night. And you wake up in the morning, what was that all about? That's mental junk. Your brain's just rebooting itself like your computer. Okay, your brain just is compartmentalizing all these things that you have in your stored memory and putting them, you know, in folders in your brain, basically. But diabolical dreams are vivid, colorful, logical. You wake up exhausted. And diabolical obsession, it also gives you tunnel vision, and it also, it's accompanied with strong depression. And in Father Ripperger's book called The Science of Mental Health, he says on page 563, he says, both good and bad angels can cause dreams. It is for this reason that the church has always cautioned people about interpreting dreams. And Father Ripperger, in a YouTube article, in a YouTube video that I watched, he says about 25% of people are diabolically obsessed in the U.S. Eddie, that's a high number. That's one out of four, he's saying. And Kyle Clement, who's Father Ripperger's right-hand man, okay, that's, Father is like Batman, Kyle is Robin, okay? They work together. They've been working together for a dozen years. Kyle says in demonic obsession, the way he explains it, he says, there's a constant demonic dialogue that goes on. And I was talking to Kyle and Dan, and they brought something to me up that I never thought about, Eddie. He says, do you realize that right now, young people, we live in a generation, probably within the last 10 years, 15 years, where young people always have something in their ears. They're always plugged into something. You know, they could be at home and they're plugged into something. Now, Kyle and Dan told me, the reason you have more people plugged in and they're constantly listening to something is because they're trying to block out the demonic, that constant demonic dialogue that a lot of them are experiencing in this country. Father Ripperger says one out of four. And so the way people deal with it, instead of prayer and fasting and the sacraments and sacramentals, they're plugging in to electrical devices to try to drown out the constant demonic dialogue. When Kyle and Dan told me that, I said, that makes total sense to me. 90% of the young people are plugged into something, and those are the ones that are attacked the most because those are the ones that live least in a state of grace.
Jason, you have to think of what the options are. So if they're trying to drown out some of those things, look at what the option is. Either way, you get they listen to modern music? I mean, think about the songs that are out there right now, right? So now they're trying to drown out the demonic with some evil-causing music. So this is something that plagues the youth now, Jess, because what they're doing is there's demons everywhere, Jess. There's demonic stuff everywhere. And 25%, you're right, it's a huge number of people. And imagine just how many of those people would love to be liberated, but some of them probably don't even realize that they're obsessed until they clear out some of those lower attachments that they have and realize I need Jesus because this is not helping me. There's nothing that I'm doing that's helping me. This is where we're at right now in this culture.
That's right. Eddie, Dr. Margaret Schleins, she's an instructor of exorcism at the Pope Leo XIII Institute. She says that she's quoting Ignatius of Loyola, where he tells us, guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. And Dr. Margaret, she also says that obsession, she defines it as undesirable, obtrusive thoughts. Undesirable, obtrusive thoughts. So again, to answer the question, can demons affect our psychological thoughts? The answer is categorically yes. And that's why one of the things, and a lot of people, again, they just can't do it because Father Ripperger's, his form of setting people free, it's basically like SWAT training. It's just like, okay, he says, all right, you coming to me? And then, you know, Kyle's the intake guy and you say, okay, First 30 days, you can't listen to anything. No TV, no radio, no nothing. Complete media fast. All you can listen to is Gregorian chant all day. They put it on the phone. Kyle puts it on their phone. Says, this is all you can listen to is day and night. Well, the person says, I can't listen to that day and night. I got to watch my, you know, if you're a liberal, I got to watch my MSNBC. You know, if you lean more to the right, I got to watch my Fox News. Or I got to watch the local news. I got to watch my baseball. And Kyle, and they'll say, okay, you're not serious about this. See ya. Get to the back of the line and we'll see you whenever you really want help. See, this is hardcore stuff. You know, imagine, Eddie, you unplug from everything in the world and listen to Gregorian chant day and night for 30 days. There's not going to be a demon near you for 100 miles.
That's right. You know, it's funny. You start thinking about the reality of what the demons can do. Jess, there's a woman at our parish who for many, many years has been suffering with diabolical obsession. And this is what it is. She was married to a gang member years ago and heard him talking in his sleep about murdering somebody. A year later, their own daughter was killed in the projects of Pacoima, close to the church we used to attend, Jess. And so she's been dealing with this for so many years. She comes to me every time she sees me. She goes, Eddie, I feel so bad. I go, have you prayed? I gave you the prayers. I pray all those prayers. Are you praying it consistently? Are you praying it for 30 days? And you know what, Jess? She can't. She can't do it. It's too difficult for her. This is what, at least that's what she believes. It's too difficult for her. But this is what keeps people from coming back to the church, Jess. This is what we have to, that's why we do this on Jesus 911 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, so that people will understand the strength. And you can't do it by yourself. That's the whole point, Jess. You have to ask Jesus and Mother Mary to help us through it, because it's going to be too difficult if we try to take this on by ourselves.
Eddie, but I'll tell you one of the reasons why a lot of times I don't feel sorry for people when they say, I can't. I'll tell you why. Because I say, now, what you're saying is totally against what God's promises are. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you're a baptized Christian, guess what? You could pray the Auxilium Christinorum prayers every day. You could. The Bible would say, I could do all things except the Auxilium Christinorum or the 12 Noon Angelus. So a lot of times, Eddie, it's just they're not engaged in the fight. They're not engaged like they should be. And also, Jesus' cousin, James chapter 4, verse 6, resist the devil and he will flee. Come on, the Bible's not going to tell you to do something if you can't do it. Resist the devil and he will flee. That means you can do it if you're a Christian. We're done, Eddie. Wrap it up.
You know, Jess, one person told me I get rage when I pray the Our Father. Let me tell you something. The Our Father, the words that Jesus himself gave us, it's powerful. You need to do that at least to come back to the church. Okay, so everybody stand by for Gary Mashuda, Hands-On Apologetics. We'll be with you again tomorrow. See you next time. God bless you. And remember the war cry, Quis ut Deus, who's unlike unto God. God bless.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.